Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, how to lay off a direct, part 4. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when laying off an employee? How do I prepare for a layoff? And what should I say when laying someone off? Answers to these questions and more coming up. It's been a year now since we launched the MT Disc Profile, the smartest disc profile on the market. Your strengths and weaknesses are outlined in detail, in a language you can understand. No theories, no psychobabble, just behavioral details. And where the real action is the fact that then your behaviors are compared to every other major profile, leaving you with the information you need to truly be effective. DISC isn't just an interesting and fun exercise, although that's often true. DISC can help you be better every single day. Check it out on our website at manager-tools.com/products.
If you're joining us this week and you haven't listened the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about how to lay off a direct. And you may have caught it in the intro that this is part 4. Which means the last 3 weeks, we've been covering the same topic, and this is a continuation. Just to catch everyone up so far, what we've talked about in this cast and in its parts, multiple parts, is why layoffs happen, layoffs in 2023 and then beyond, because we're recording this in 2023 and we want y'all to have an understanding of what it's like now. And to some extent, that's the impetus for us releasing this cast at this time. Since we've talked about this in the past, and we felt that a refresh of this guidance and a more in-depth conversation was warranted. So layoffs in 2023 and beyond. Also, how to prepare for the steel cage death match, which as well has previous guidance released. So you can go, if you go to the website and search for steel cage death match, you're going to get some other casts coming up from over the years. It's okay during this process to acknowledge rumors. We're going to set an example of confidentiality, though. So we talked about what to say in order to acknowledge those rumors, how to then also continue that conversation with an example of confidentiality, and that we're not going to discuss details or meetings or any of that. So that's the guidance there. And it's in our previous parts of this cast. Part 4 it's a lot. We're in pretty deep here.
We are.
We're also going to communicate about career wellness to our team members. And this particular piece of the guidance, it is something that's more continuous. It's not about this end process. So we're kind of a little bit mixing the time frame here. Important to know that you should begin now communicating about career wellness with your directs, and that that will then put you in a better position in the future should you ever be in a layoff situation. You need to know the details of what's going on, y'all. And that sometimes means HR. There's some stuff you need to find out. We recommend you follow a pre-written script in the meeting in which this layoff occurs. If they ask you in that meeting, you answer immediately. So we're not going to withhold the answer, and we're going to have a script ready, knowing that they might, in the course of conversation, ask in this meeting, and we're going to say yes or no. Yes, because we're doing this in the meeting, right? And then we still have our script ready. So preparation. So a lot of this is about preparation, starting now, honestly.
Yes.
And then also preparation closer to the situation, should you ever be in it, and preparation around the steel cage death match meeting. We've got 3 more pieces here, though. So we still want to talk about following up with those laid off, closing the loop with remaining directs, and then doing a hot wash. And that's what we're going to focus on today so that you have a full picture of all the things. And we just want to remind you of all the stuff we've covered. And we know some of you guys maybe just joined us and we've been having the same conversation for a few weeks now. Just wanted to catch you up.
Mm-hmm. We have. And if you've been listening, if you've not, we do recommend you go back. But if you've been listening, a common theme that you will have heard running through our podcasts is compassion. And last time we ended off talking about the best way to Kate's point, to have that script, right? The best way to say those words, be prepared for that meeting. And another compassionate thing we can do in that conversation, should they do so? If you're asked, we would recommend you answer immediately. Now, we gave you a full-blown script. We recommend you come, you're fully prepared. You've got everything written down in the front of you so you can say it without losing your train of thought. But if in the first moments of that meeting, your direct says or asks you, I suppose, if they're being laid off, we would recommend you say yes immediately. Immediately. Now, you have a script.
They can't hear anything else you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, until they have the answer. And your script allows for you to tell them right up front too.
Exactly. And what that means, you being, I want to say, taken off your script, might mean you have to stop your script, tell them yes, and then go back to your script, skipping what would be the first sentence, which was you essentially telling them that they're being terminated as of X date. But we'd not recommend, if you're talking about something different, you're reading your script essentially, and you're not at that point yet, if they ask, am I being terminated, we'd not recommend you just keep on reading your script and looking down. We'd immediately recommend you look up, you answer their question, yes, and then go back to it at some logical point in your script. Because again, to Kate's point, they want the answer. They're not hearing anything else. And even if you've said it, even if you've gone through and said that first sentence, which you think to yourself seems awfully clear that you've told them they're being laid off, if they ask it, they clearly didn't get the answer. Say yes. Just say yes. Let them know immediately.
Yeah. Don't hold them hostage to your script.
Exactly.
And genuinely, they can't. Sometimes they just aren't listening because all they can think of, and they have it. It's a lot. There's a lot going on for them, right? And to your point about compassion, we talked about previously, compassion for our directs means also not talking about how hard this has been on us, about how difficult this has been, about the, there's a lot of times in these discussions, they talk about, well, the company, and it's been really hard. And of course, I think those specific sentences are meant to say, well, this wasn't a decision made lightly.
Yeah.
And y'all, they don't care.
They don't care. It's not the time.
Yeah. And I can promise you, no matter what you say, there's a chance that they will feel that it was, you know, a callous decision or things like that. Not specifically on the manager's part, simply that they feel negative things about this situation and it colors their perception of how the decisions were made. No words that you try to share with them about how these decisions are made are going to convince them that this is a good situation.
Not right now, it's not.
Yeah. And even if they are in a good spot, they've saved up their funds, they have their resume ready, they're feeling that it will turn out okay. This isn't about us. And we are really focusing on doing this compassionately, which is why we're asking the manager to do it.
Exactly, as opposed to some
HR or somebody, anybody
nameless,
else.
Faceless other. Exactly. So,
right.
Now, in the layoff conversation, you might think all the hard work is done. Unfortunately, the hard work's not done. The analogy I kind of have for the after action, Kate, is a little bit like hiring. People are so worried about getting the hiring done, they forget about the onboarding. In this case, it's people are so worried about doing the layoff piece, right? They don't do the after action. And now that we've talked about the actual work itself for the layoff, we can't forget the after action, because our work here isn't over. And after this conversation, we're going to recommend that you, as the manager, follow up with the people who've been laid off. Now, folks, I think we've probably mentioned this. I hope we mentioned this in the last two parts, but a lot of this is going to be so much easier if you have a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know if you've been spending, let's say it's only 2 years, doing one-on-ones with this person, after they get laid off, it's going to be that much easier to do things like we're going to recommend in a moment here, like reach out and stay in contact, etc. Building a relationship, to Kate's point a moment earlier, is kind of like encouraging them to start saving their money now before they need to. Building a relationship now is going to make it so much easier for when you do the hard thing, that is, in this case, lay off somebody, when you do the hard thing, for them to ultimately not hold it against you, for you to be able to help them beyond the actual layoff. And that's essentially what we're recommending that you do, folks. That is, after the layoff event has taken place. Over the next few weeks, we would recommend you do your very best to stay in regular contact with the people that you've laid off.
Yeah, call them. Now, this requires you to have gathered some of their contact information, which again, we talked about how to do that. Have your stuff printed out, have it backed up to another device, something. Call them, text them, email them, whatever you prefer, really, probably will work.
I was going to say in a direct message on LinkedIn even. I mean, that's sometimes the easiest way to find another professional if you don't have that kind of information.
That's true. Interestingly, my first thought was a lot of people don't check their LinkedIn all the time, except if you're looking for a job.
Except if you're looking for a job.
Your LinkedIn.
Yeah, you're updating that. You're cleaning it out. You're presenting your best face. Probably you can assume at this point in time they're going to be on their LinkedIn a bit more than usual. So might not.
Right.
Don't rule it out as a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So check in with them every 3 days. Ask if they're doing okay. Offer to help them. You know, if you become aware of an internal opportunity, let them know about it. Let them know about any external opportunities.
Yeah.
There are probably people in your network, which might be bigger than your directs, who are hiring.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let your, you know, laid off directs know of those opportunities, offer to help make introductions, maybe send an email out before you know that layoffs are coming to your network and say, hey, there's a chance that we're going to have a reduction in force. And that means that some of the people here might be available for roles, anybody hiring. It might be that if you haven't been having the correct career wellness conversations about them, that you're not sure about their level of career wellness. So you don't then know how their resume is doing. So pretty simple solution to that, ask for a copy. And even if you can't use it, in my mind, part of the value of this is then they'll get one ready.
Yeah. Volunteer to proofread.
Oh my gosh. Somebody needs to proofread.
Yeah. Someone needs to proofread. Can't see the forest for the trees. How many typos do you have that you've looked at 7,000 times and missed? Yeah.
Seriously.
Volunteer to, hey, happy to look at your resume. Happy to give you comments. Happy to all that.
Also, because you're the person who knows the other things that might not be on there that could be valuable.
Exactly. Didn't even think of that.
Ask for their resume. Hopefully it prompts them to get it ready.
Yes,
if they haven't taken your guidance, you can help to make it better, valuable. Ask about their finances, y'all. I know this is an interesting topic for me because I am very, I might be a little more aware of my own personal finances than other people. I pay a little more attention to my personal finances than a lot of people. I think, although my experience with the Manager Tools community is that's not true of this community. Our community also tends to be very healthy in their personal finances and very aware of their own personal finances. I think there is a common theme in social relationships that it's inappropriate to talk about finances. And I can understand that in social settings. Absolutely. This is not a social setting. Interactions with your directs are not a social setting. I have had some people who were friends of mine before who then I worked with, and we didn't have social conversations about personal finances. We did have conversations at work about personal finances, and it was so valuable to I think, just kind of share, you know, how a person's doing. And I think it helps like me and the other person adjust their thoughts on their finances. Mm-hmm. So sure, there's some social norms that say don't talk about finances. This is not a social situation in the same way that that kind of like, oh, we don't talk about that stuff mm-hmm. mantra exists.
Exactly.
If you care about someone, especially if they're in this situation, yeah. you want them to be financially stable.
Exactly.
You do.
You absolutely do.
And no one knows that you care about it unless you are willing to ask about it and ask if they want to talk about it. So there's,
yeah,
it's really, we're just trying to make sure that we can demonstrate compassion and care, because these people whom we laid off are in a position where that's both like our responsibility, but also like, who else is going to help them?
Yeah.
If we've spent all this time working with this person, wouldn't you care enough about them to care that they're okay in this situation?
Yeah. You would think. And don't be afraid, I guess is what I think here a little bit. I mean, I don't know. It's a hard situation. It feels a little bit like after what I've done to that person, they don't want to hear from me. Folks,
but
that's
then they
not
can just
true.
Not answer.
They can ghost you. Ghosting people's real easy. Don't be afraid. I would recommend you employ here the middleman test. Don't think of it as I'm the person that just laid them off. They don't want to hear from me. Think of it as if I were just laid off by a boss that I'd been doing one-on-ones with for 2 years and I really, really trusted, would I want that person to reach out to me and ask me if I was okay and ask me if they could help? Of course you would. We all would. Make sure when you're making decisions about what you're going to talk about and how you're going to talk about it, don't think of it as I'm this big, mean, awful villain. You did everything you could do in the right way. Make sure you keep doing everything you can do in the right ways, which includes following up and making sure they're all right and volunteering to help and saying the things that need to be said, because you can still add value to them and the situation and their career, even though maybe currently what's happening is not great.
And they can still ignore you if they want. If you send a text, if you make, they can just not answer, y'all. People do it. It's a thing.
And they might do it for weeks and then reach out to you later.
Yeah.
People need time.
It's okay.
Yeah. People need time.
Manners are not the thing that help the other person behave. Manners are the thing that ensure that we behave. So we're going to do our due diligence. And not just with the people who have left us, also with the people who remain on our team. We recommend that you close the loop with your remaining directs, kind of close out the conversation, have a brief meeting with your remaining directs as quickly as you can. Speed is your friend here. As quickly as you can after you've communicated to those affected. So we tell the people who are affected and then communicate in a group setting with the remaining directs. And the quickly as you can thing is a bit, I mean, we're hoping for a little bit of speed here. Urgency, I suppose, is the better word. It can be complicated by the question about, is this process really over? Like, are we really done? What is the end here? And generally, once the first round is done, you can assume the remainder of your team is safe.
Yes. Unless you've been told otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. Or unless if everybody on your team made it through and nobody said anything about, you know, well, there's, you know, more rounds coming, something like that. So
right.
We understand it's not always clear or clearly communicated if the process is over.
Exactly.
And when you have some sense that there's safety, have a meeting, team meeting, explain to them that the process is over.
Yeah. Set their minds at ease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will have a return to productivity.
Yes.
Encourage them, y'all, too, and to reach out to their former colleagues and and we assume they're to some extent friends.
Yes.
So reach out to those laid off people, provide phone numbers for that, personal email addresses if necessary. Tell them that you're doing this and ask them to do so, or encourage them at least. Mm-hmm. Check back with them in a week to see if anybody has.
Yeah.
Let's continue to encourage them. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this every 3 days. There's nothing to say that the rest of the team can't also be reaching out. Maybe exactly. It's easier for them because there's more of them, so they don't have to reach out as often. And make it known to the team that some people are reaching out.
Yeah.
Because it'll help others to feel comfortable to do so.
Exactly.
Survivor's guilt's basically essentially overrated and
real.
Not valuable. Real. Yeah, absolutely. Perhaps it's tendency to color our behavior in ways that are exclusive of mm-hmm. a person is not in this scenario something that will benefit the team or the person who is no longer a part of the team.
Yes.
Let's just not let it color our behavior.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And please, and I feel like I have to say this because it's happened to me. Please, please, please don't tell the folks on your team they're not allowed to reach out to someone who our organization has let go. It's tragic and sad, and they will feel horribly. And in my case, many, many years later, when it's all died down, they're going to call and they're going to apologize in tears. And it's awful for them. Don't make the people that are still working here go through a horrendous experience as well. I mean, they've gone through enough. Everyone has gone through enough. So encouraging
those. That's just awful.
It's awful.
That would be awful to say, oh, you can't talk to that person because they were laid off.
Yeah.
It almost, to me, it colors the layoff discussion with this tint that I think
I was going to call
common.
It, dark.
Yeah. We talked about why layoffs are happening, and essentially why layoffs are happening is because the executives of the organization didn't plan well enough. There's either not enough funds to keep the company going through a downturn, or a decision was made that didn't go well. And these things do happen, y'all. Yeah. In general, though, our hope is that people are, you know, shoring up their defenses with enough funds to weather these storms. When someone is laid off, which is a failure of the organization, let's be clear, and then the organization says, oh, you can't talk to that person, it then places what I would just, I think what it does in people's minds, because this isn't exactly what's happening, but it places then the guilt on the laid off person.
Yeah.
It actually makes it seem as though the company didn't do anything wrong. Rather, the person who's been laid off did something wrong.
And which is not true.
It's not true. And it really, honestly, I think it's like a defensive mechanism almost. Of like, it feels awful. It feels awful that the idea would be, we made a mistake, but you're the person who is ostracized.
You're to blame.
And awful. I think it does. I think it puts that in people's minds, especially if you're young enough in your career that you don't realize that layoffs are a failure of the organization.
Yeah.
Rather than a failure of the person who's laid off.
Right.
So I think it just goes on to support that idea of like, oh, it's the person's fault. No. Right.
No.
It's not.
It's absolutely not.
Right. And it happens. However, if that person has done nothing wrong, they haven't failed, and we were in a team with them, therefore we have a relationship with them, it is a dishonor to that relationship to then cut it off because, oh, that person no longer works here.
Right. As if our relationship was based solely on our work lives, which is absolutely not true. It's not true.
Yeah. For some people listening, it is true with some of their peers.
Yeah.
And if that's true, if you don't have a solid relationship with the person, maybe you're not the right guy to reach out.
Yeah, maybe you're not the right person to reach out. Maybe they don't want to hear from you.
Maybe you're not the right gal to reach out. Okay, cool. And if that's not the case, if you do have a positive relationship with them, then we want to be supportive. And again, going back to the team you have, managers, please communicate to the team that you have remaining about the process being over.
Yes. You know,
their safe, their relative
close
safety.
That book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do this in a team meeting. Unless you have, if you only have one or two directs left, you could talk about it in one-on-ones.
Yeah.
But we find that there's value in everybody hearing the same message.
Same message
at the same time.
You're absolutely right.
Much less gossipy. And there's already enough gossip around this process.
By far. More than enough.
Yeah. More than enough. About once a quarter, we host an effective hiring manager conference as part of our public event. And so in DC, March 28th, 29th, and 30th, we'll be hosting a three-day event. Starts with the EHM, Effective Hiring Manager, and then we have an Effective Manager and Effective Communicator course. We'd love to see you there for all 3 days. Again, since we only do the Effective Hiring Manager once a quarter, we just want to let you know that it is available in Washington, D.C. on March 28th. You can come out for those 3 days, see the team, learn about hiring, management, and communication. You can register online at manager-tools.com/training. See you soon.
To the last part, essentially, which is everyone's done. It's been communicated to. We've told all of the people all the messages they needed to know to essentially end the layoff. Let's not forget then that we still need to do a hot wash. Now, this goes back to, again, a previous cast. If you're unfamiliar with hot wash, essentially, it is a brainstorm where we come up with a list of what went well, what to take a look at, so that the next time we have to do this, which unfortunately, this may not be the last time and we may need to do it again, we will have learned from our successes and our failures.
And so to your point, like, okay, maybe this won't happen again at this organization. That's totally could be true.
Yeah.
However, this hot wash could go into your Delta file, which is another previous podcast about what you would do differently. And the tone of that podcast is essentially like, what would you do differently than your current manager?
Yeah.
In this case, though, I have used my Delta file for other things, personal Delta file, essentially like next time I go through this situation, I would do this differently, or I would start here. And for me, the thing that's in my Delta file, my personal Delta file from having gone through layoffs at my previous organization was the backing the phone up to an old phone.
Oh, yeah.
Now, at the time, it was like it was actually, it was an iPod at the time.
Okay, yeah.
But that's really not the point. Even if you don't, like having an assessment of what went well and what to take a look at through this process, because now you know if the way you're keeping those contacts is going to work. Even if you don't do the layoff process again here, someday you're going to be in a situation where someone leaves your organization and parts of this process are going to be maybe valuable. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make an assessment of how it went, and you can put that hot wash in your kind of like layoff knowledge file, but you can also put it in your Delta file.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just keep those records. Right? Do that one-page hot wash. What went well? What you need to take a look at for your next experience so that you're constantly improving? Because, folks, even though this is a tragic, awful situation, a professional wants to get better even at the things that we don't want to do. And we know that we need to, especially at times like these. This is one of those situations you really want to get it right. You really want to get it right. And it's probably not have gone perfect. So you want to make sure next time it's better.
Yeah. And I also, my experience with it is after the first time having things written down, you feel a little bit more like it's manageable.
Absolutely.
It feels a little bit more as if, okay, there is going to be a light at the end of this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is a horrible process to go through, and it's just rife with so many emotions, so much gossip, all those things. It's not easy having, for me, a little bit of predictability or just, hey, this is what happened before. Here's where I did well. Here's where I could do better. At least you feel as if you are making some traction.
Yeah.
Because it's really not up to you whether or not the layoff happens or how you have to do it, unless you want to leave, which, okay, good. You absolutely can. If the only thing that you can console yourself with is, I did it okay last time. I can do it a little bit better this time because I have this what went well, take a look at hot wash information. At least you can say to yourself, like, I am doing better than I did last time. Like, I'm going to do this with ethics. I'm going to do it with compassion. And I'm going to improve my process because I owe it to the people involved to do my best. And I can do better than last time, which then will be my best because it's only the second time, maybe. So
absolutely.
We do recommend that you hot wash this process and by yourself, right? Like,
yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah, it's not a team activity. Sorry, to be clear.
Well, and our other hot washes, we do talk about team activities.
Yes,
this is not a team activity.
Yes.
We do this by ourselves, maybe after hours, 10 minutes at your desk. This is not a long process,
no,
y'all. So you can do it with a piece of paper and a pen and 10 minutes
yes.
at your desk, or even on a, I mean, I hate to say like a Saturday morning, but maybe that's the best time,
right?
Over your coffee with some quiet at home or something like that. So,
and hopefully that's the end.
Hopefully that's the last time.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the last time, but
except
we know it's not.
Yeah. Layoffs aren't going away.
Yeah. We hate it. We hate that layoffs aren't going away. And because we know that they're not, we mentioned this in a previous part of this this series. This isn't fantasy tools. We need to learn how to be professional about these hard things. So, I mean, ask yourself at every juncture throughout the entire process, how would you want to be treated if this was happening to you? This is the hard work that's involved in being a manager tools manager. I mean, let's remember back to the definition of a professional. It's doing the things that need doing without complaint, whether you want to or like to or not. You're irrelevant. It's your job. And it's in times of stress and trial that true professionals distinguish themselves. So distinguish yourself.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate. That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us next week for a new topic. We'll be right back.